Grab your Bibles this morning. Grab something to write on. Take some notes. Before I get started, I want to remind you of our Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150. If you've got a question about the church or about the message as we go through it, just send us a text and we'll respond to that as soon as we can. We appreciate those that are using that. Hopefully it's been a blessing and a help to you as you follow Jesus and continue to grow in Him. Our opening question this morning, I'm going to throw this out there. Now, this is a big one, so put your thinking caps on. We want to think about this morning. So here it is. What is your biggest regret in life? I know, I just blew some of your minds this morning. Okay, what is your biggest regret in life? Now, this is a deep one. And for some of you, this could be a question that brings up some past some pain, some regrets. What is your biggest regret in life? Now, yes, we're coming out firing in all cylinders this morning. We're asking about regret and failure. But listen, there's potentially, you guys have a funny one that you'd like to share. Maybe you have a funny failure or a funny regret, whether it's family or job related, whatever it is. If you want to, listen, if you want to share that, give some people a laugh, share it over here in the chat. We'd love to hear that from you. But for many of you, this may have brought up something very serious, some deep regrets that you have, whether it's childhood, early adulthood, whenever that may have happened in your life. Guys, this is a deep, deep question. Now, I'm going to look at a character this morning that was very central to the life and ministry of Jesus, who I believe had a moment of deep regret, and this would have been his moment of epic failure. And so we're about a week after Easter, okay, and we're going to jump back into Scripture here about the same time frame, about a week after Easter here in Scripture, and we're going to look at the Apostle Peter. Yes, he was one of the most visible and well-known followers of Jesus, a very central character to the life and ministry of Jesus and also the early church. And we're going to look a little bit at Peter and his moment of failure this morning. But also, it's a moment of hope. It's a moment of redemption. And so we're going to pick up the story here. And this is where we pick it up. It's been about a week after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has already appeared to his disciples a couple times. Okay, and the tradition would be for the Jews, their customs would have been to stay in Jerusalem for about a week during this period of mourning. But at this point, a little more than a week later, Peter and the disciples returned to Galilee. And here we find them on the Sea of Galilee, because Peter said, "Hey guys, let's go fishing." That's what they did. That was their livelihood before they started following Jesus. And so they return to fishing. Peter sets up a fishing trip. So they get back out on the Sea of Galilee and they're fishing. And then Jesus walks up to shore, and they didn't recognize him yet, probably just because of the distance on the shore, just some guy standing on the shore. And Jesus said, "Hey, fellas, throw your nets over the right side of the boat." And so then they had been fishing a long time, and they throw their nets over the right side of the boat. And Scripture says they caught so many fish, they could not bring them back on board of the boat. And in that moment, Peter recognized that it was Jesus. He could hardly see him, but he recognized that it was Jesus. Why? Because this miracle already happened to Peter and some of the others once. Jesus called them in the first place when he told them to follow them for the first time. They had fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And Jesus had told them to throw their nets over just one more time, and they reeled in this massive, massive haul of fish. And so here it is. This is a miracle that Jesus is repeating. And in that moment, Peter and the others knew, hey, this is Jesus. And Peter was so excited. What did he do? Thank you for asking. What did he do? Man, Peter jumped out of the boat. He was really good at that. He jumped out of a lot of boats. Peter jumped out of the boat and he swam to shore while the others towed the net of fish all the way back to shore. And so here we are. Peter recognized Jesus in his enthusiasm. He jumps out of the boat, swims to shore. The others followed and they had breakfast with Jesus on the shore. Imagine that. This seaside, shoreside breakfast with Jesus. And then this is where it gets a little bit interesting. Jesus has this conversation with Peter that I want us to look into this morning. Very interesting, relevant conversation for Peter. And so they jumped out, they had breakfast, and I can just see Jesus pulling Peter aside. "Hey, come here, Peter, I want to talk to you." And so Jesus begins to have this conversation with Peter. And we're going to read from the Gospel of John. If you've got your Bible, grab it. We're going to read from the Gospel of John this morning. Starting chapter 21, verse 15. This is where we pick up the story. It said, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" In the Gospel of John here, it's interesting. He says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time. It hurt his feelings. I mean, he was a little hurt by that. Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And this is a very significant interaction between Peter and Jesus. Because Peter had quite a journey up until this point, and some of you are familiar with this story. But he had quite a journey to get to this point, and he would continue to have quite a journey as one of the major people of the early church, one of the faces of the early church, one of the spokesmen of the early church. But I want us to go back and take a look here of some of these major moments in the life of Peter during the ministry of Jesus. Okay, I want to look at that. Matthew chapter 14. Peter, as Jesus approaches their boat, Peter decides he wants to go see Jesus. So Jesus is walking on the water. Okay, that's not something you see every day. And Peter says, "Jesus, if that you, ask me to come to you, man, I will get out and I will walk to you." So the story is told in Matthew chapter 14. Peter walks on water. He gets out of the boat, walks on water towards Jesus. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that, yes, the winds and the waves began to pick up and Peter began to sink. And he called out for Jesus' help and Jesus reached down and picked him up. But it's amazing that Peter got out of the boat in the first place and began to walk on water. Besides Jesus, the only person to walk on water that we know of. And just a few chapters later, Peter declares Jesus to be the Messiah. He recognized the role that Jesus was to play. Now, he misunderstood how Jesus was going to have to do it, as they all did. But he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. This was a powerful moment. So, Lord, you are the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting on. You're the promised one of Israel. That is you. And we understand from the Gospels that Peter, along with James and John, was part of this inner core among all the other disciples. I mean, the three of them were tighter with Jesus than any of the others. And Peter was one of the three present at the moment of transfiguration for Jesus when Jesus' glory was revealed. The three of them also went a little bit further in the garden on the night that Jesus was betrayed as they were praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, there was this inner circle and Peter was a part of it. As Jesus was predicting his betrayal, Peter declares that he is willing to die with Jesus. We see this recorded in the Gospels. He says, "I will never disown you." And also in John chapter 18, we see this misguided moment of bravery and valor by Peter when he draws a sword and he cuts off one of the servant's ears as he's trying to defend Jesus when Jesus was arrested. According to the Gospels, this glimpse that we get into Peter's personality, into his life, man, appears to be the most vocal, the most aggressive, the most enthusiastic of all the disciples. But then something happened, something changed. When Jesus was arrested, something shifted in Peter, something changed. Maybe it was confusion, maybe it was brought on by fear or doubt. Maybe it was the fact that this wasn't going how they thought it was going to go. Maybe they're beginning to recognize that is not only is just Jesus the Messiah, but is he the type of Messiah we thought we were waiting on? And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that as Jesus was arrested and taken away, Peter started following at a distance. Others deserted, but outside of John, Peter stayed a little bit close to Jesus, but not quite. He began to follow at a distance. And so I don't know if Peter's wheels were turning, if he was afraid, if he was trying to figure out what was happening. Like, this isn't what's supposed to happen. This isn't how it's supposed to go down. But Jesus had predicted this. He had predicted this struggle when Peter denied that it would never, hey, it happened to everybody else. It's not going to happen to me. Let's look at it here. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Excuse me. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And here we see Peter's reply. Verse 33 says, Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I never will. In a moment of truth for Jesus, he looks at Peter and says, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Now they all said they would never disown Jesus, but here it records Peter's words. He said, listen, if everybody else does, I'm not going to. It won't be me. It will not be me who fails you, Jesus. It will not be me who turns away from you. Anybody else but me. But Peter did struggle. He did fail Jesus. Let's pick up the story here in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. It says, while Peter was below in the courtyard, see what had happened. John had followed Jesus in the courtyard. Peter followed behind. But he was still at a distance, still kind of hovering, still staying back. All the other disciples had left. It says, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him closely. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But Peter denied it. He said, I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway. A little more distance between he and Jesus. He said, when the servant girl saw him standing there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. And again, he denied it. And after a little while, those standing near said to Peter, look at what they said. It says, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. And his response is very striking here. Look at what it says in verse 71. It says, he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you would have sold me three times. It says, Peter broke down and he wept. So imagine in that moment how Peter is feeling. This man who proclaimed his undying loyalty, this man who had walked on water, this man who had drawn a sword. And the first two denials were to a girl, a servant girl. But he's so afraid of being identified with Jesus or as one of his followers that he denied Jesus. And so he began immediately at the garden following Jesus at a distance. Like he's close, but not quite. He said he would go to prison. He said he would die. But here we see him following at a distance, hiding even. He wanted to see what was going to happen with Jesus, but he didn't want to be so close that he would be identified with Jesus. The problem was Peter wasn't standing with Jesus. He wasn't standing with Jesus when Jesus needed it, and the distance grew quickly. I want you to look at this. We're going to look back at Peter's denial. I just want to point out a couple things. Because what I want you to see here, and it's especially obvious here in the Gospel of Mark, that it was a very progressive denial. It wasn't just an overnight thing. And some of you watching right now, maybe you're not as close to Jesus as you used to be. And maybe you haven't denied him specifically, but maybe you have backed off in your relationship with him. And it's growing. That distance is growing further and further every day. Look here. In verse 68, after the first question by the servant girl, he just played stupid. Peter just played a little bit stupid. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. He played stupid. There's a little bit of distance. Look at the second one in verse 70. She tried to associate him with the Galileans, knowing that the followers of Jesus, man, they're Galileans. And Peter's like, yeah, I'm not with them. I'm not one of them. I'm not part of that group. Again, a little more distance between he and Jesus. And then in verse 71, this is the one that hurts. He denied Jesus personally. See, the first two, it wasn't a personal denial. Even though he needed to stand with Jesus, even though he needed to stand for Jesus, each denial got progressively worse. Each denial brought more and more distance between he and Jesus. But he completely distanced himself from Christ. It said he called down curses. He said, I do not know this man. So imagine in that moment when that rooster crowed, and Peter remembered what Jesus had told him, and he remembered his response to Jesus. Man, imagine the shame, the regret that Peter must have had. Now let's go back to that seaside breakfast and that conversation that Peter had with Jesus. It said three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. Now Jesus already knew the answers. Peter even said that, like, Jesus, you know the answers. But Jesus asked it anyway. Three times Peter said he did, and three times Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now listen, church, Jesus was not trying to rub Peter's failure in his face. That's not what he was doing here. But he was trying to reaffirm his love, his forgiveness for Peter. But he was also reaffirming Peter's place in his plans. He was reaffirming Peter's place in the kingdom of God. He said, "Feed my sheep." Three times. Once for every failure, not to reinforce the shame, but to reinforce the forgiveness that he had towards Peter, to reinforce the love that he had for Peter, to reinforce the fact that no matter how many denials, there was a place in the kingdom for Peter. There was a place in the purposes of God for Peter. That Peter was still important. That Peter still had a role to play. Man, what a powerful statement. And if you keep reading in that passage, Jesus finishes this conversation with Peter by telling him how he was going to die for him. And listen, this was not punishment. This was an amazing moment that I think meant a lot to Peter. Now, we don't face this kind of persecution here in America, so it's hard for us to understand what's happening here. But I want you to remember what Peter said he would do. He said, "Jesus, if everybody dies for you, if everybody deserts you, I will not. And even if all others abandon you, even if all others turn away, I will die for you." And in this moment, Jesus says, "Peter, you're still going to get your chance. You're still going to get your chance to prove your ultimate love and loyalty to me." Now, this was not a punishment. This was going to be an honor for Peter. And legend has it that Peter refused to be crucified like his Savior. And so Peter was crucified upside down because he did not believe he was worthy of the honor of being killed the same way that Jesus was. And so I believe in this moment, there's a moment of honor for Peter. Not excited about his death, but a moment of honor and a moment of humility, but a moment of reassurance that God still had plans for him, that Jesus still wanted him on his team, that Jesus still loved him and believed in him. And he would finally, ultimately, one day get to fulfill the promise that he had made to Jesus just a few days before. That I will die for you. I will die for you. And so this morning, as we begin to close, guys, this is a powerful story, this life of Peter and that we've looked at this morning. But I want to encourage you. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to stay close to him. Yes, this is a weird time with the COVID virus, but stay close to Jesus. Take advantage of some of your alone time. Take advantage of some of the silence. Stay close to him. Peter began to back off in his relationship with the Lord and ultimately led to him denying Jesus personally. Stay close to him. Don't back off. When I asked the question earlier, what was your biggest regret in life? Maybe you thought of a failure. Maybe it was a spiritual failure. Maybe it was a personal failure, a relational failure. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's no failure so big that he would turn his back on you. You cannot deny him or fail him any more personally than Peter did. And Jesus still said, "Peter, I've got plans for you. Peter, I forgive you. Peter, I know you love me despite your failures. Feed my sheep. Work for my kingdom." And the very last thing he said in that passage was, "Follow me." And so Jesus ended that conversation, one of the last conversations he had with Peter, with the very first words he spoke to him in the first place. "Follow me. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men, Peter." And at the end, "Follow me. Feed my sheep. There's still work to be done, Peter." And I'm talking to you. If you're a follower of Jesus and you feel like you failed him, there's still work to be done for his kingdom. There's still forgiveness for you. There's still a Savior that is waiting for you with open arms. Turn back to him today. And if you consider yourself not a follower of Jesus, maybe you're an unbeliever. No matter what your biggest regret or failure is, I'm telling you, There's forgiveness for you today. There is a new life, a new start for you that is promised in Scripture. When we turn our life over to Jesus Christ, He's promised to come into us and live in us and set us free from our past, forgive us from our past. We are now defined by Him and His goodness, not by our failures and not by our deepest regrets. Now all we got to do is we got to admit that we're a sinner. We admit our need for Jesus. Simply recognizing that on our own, that we have failed the Creator of the universe. We admit our need for sin. The Scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It means we've all sinned and we've not lived up to what God has created us to be and to do. But then we believe in Jesus Christ as He died for our sins, as He paid the penalty, the ultimate justice. He paid the penalty of our sin, a penalty that He did not earn, but we did. He paid that on our behalf. And as we believe that Jesus paid that price for us, that He died and rose again, that He is now alive, that we can have spiritual life through Him. And we confess Him as Lord of our life. He's not just our Savior, but He's our Lord. That means when we come to Him, when we give Him our life, we give Him everything. We don't hold anything back. We don't cross our fingers behind our back. We give Him it all. See, it is all yours, Jesus. It is all yours. Whatever you want to remove, whatever you want to change, whatever you want to do. My hopes, my dreams, my temptations, my habits, everything is yours. That's when we are made brand new. That's when we are adopted into God's family. We become sons and daughters of our Creator. And He transforms us on the inside and makes us brand new. Yes, we look the same. Yes, maybe we have the same temptations we did before, but we are set free from bondage to that. Now we have the ability to say no to our temptations. We have the ability to say no to the worst parts of us. But since we said yes to Jesus, there is a new life that is set out before us. And so if you're struggling in your walk with the Lord this morning, I'm going to pray. I encourage you, draw back to Him. Confess your sins. Scripture says He's faithful and just, and He will forgive us of those sins. If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning and you want to be, I encourage you, use our text number, 605-215-5150. Okay, contact us. I'd love to talk with you. But also, what would be even better is if you prayed with me this morning, and as I pray for you, that you would admit your need for Him, you would ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and you would give your whole life to Him. And listen, it's not about using magic words. It's about the position of your heart. And if you do that, and you truly mean to give your life to Him and surrender to Him, He will transform your life. Doesn't mean everything is going to be perfect or even easy, but He will transform it. From the inside out, He will begin changing your life. And we'll be here for you if you need us. If you're local, reach out to us. We'd love to talk with you. So I'm going to pray this morning. I just encourage you to pray along with me, whether you're a follower or you're not a follower. I pray this message has encouraged you as we've looked at the story of Peter this morning. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how You don't give up on us. I thank You for the story of Peter and Jesus, that even in coming from a moment of great failure, of great betrayal, that there's still forgiveness for Peter and there's still forgiveness for us. And God, I just pray for all those that are struggling with regret this morning. I pray that they would just lay down their pride, and God, that they would just lay it at Your feet. God, those that need to confess sin, I pray that right now they would confess sin. Those that need to return to You, God, I pray that You would remove the distance that has come between You and them. Because God, You have not moved. You're still there. You're still waiting with open arms, waiting for Your children to return home. And God, if someone is listening to me right now, God, and they recognize as Your Spirit is dealing with their heart, that they would recognize their need for a Savior. They recognize their need for You. God, I pray that as they ask You for forgiveness and they place their life in Your hands, and God, call out for You for a new beginning and a new hope. God, that You would transform their life right now in an instant. God, that You would restore hope to them. That they would know that they've been adopted into Your family. And God, that You would begin transforming them from the inside out by the power of Your Spirit. And so, Lord, I just pray that this has been an encouragement, not only to Cornerstone Church, which is our town, but anyone listening. So, Lord, keep us close. God, help us to maintain, Lord, our faithfulness to You. And so those that are struggling, encourage them in their spirit. But God, You're waiting. And the message is still the same. Feed My sheep. Follow Me. That is still the message. That is still the message. You still have work for us to do. You still want us to follow You. You still want us to live for You. And so, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for that promise. Thank You for Your presence in our lives. And I thank You for changing lives. Yeah, lives we may never even see. But continue to work in us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.